Welcome back, everybody, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew. Appreciate y'all joining us this afternoon. And the one and only Father John Gesualdo, star of our show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Always a joy to hang out with you guys.
So we are going to broach a new subject this week. We've
Yes.
spent the last few weeks talking about some different topics that are contentious and cause people consternations inside and outside of the church. If you missed some or all of our nine contentious topics, they are available on the website. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about a common anti-Catholic argument, if you will, and that is Christ as the foundation of the church. And just so we're clear, I don't dispute that.
Yes.
In case anyone was thinking otherwise, I do not dispute that. I don't think Father will dispute that.
No.
But I think we want to get into some of these common arguments
Yeah.
that get levied against Catholics and
Levied.
what our church teaches about
Yeah.
the foundation.
So I guess I'll just start talking. How about that? First thing that comes to mind is, I can't help this, but a few months ago, I was meeting with some young LDS elders, Mormon young men, with the ties and the bikes. And I've been talking with them, and it really comes down to history. Can you trust the church or can you trust Joseph Smith? But they point back to the Jesus too, that Jesus founded a church on the apostles. They believe that, but that immediately the church apostatized. Fell away completely within like the second generation of the
Wow.
church. And so I asked them, are you saying that Jesus' apostles were LDS? And they said, yes, they were. That's what they and they had to come back again. And it's easy to criticize or laugh at that, but that's essentially what Lutherans believe, Presbyterians believe, Reformed believe. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, that Jesus did found it, but it's called the great apostasy that they all depend on. That when Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What they mean, most of them, is that it did prevail against it. Now, some, what we call landmark Baptists, will say that Jesus founded the Baptist church on the apostles, but it didn't completely go away. The real Christians had to go into hiding, Tom. They had to go in hiding and be repressed and wait till Martin Luther came out and or John Wycliffe or Hussites came out, and they were able to come out of the and reestablish the church. They all agree with that. Can I throw one thing? I want to say something about LDS. I have realized that I have a lot in common with Mormons. You want to hear my three things that I'm in common with
Oh,
Mormons?
okay. This ought to
Ready?
be good. Yeah, go ahead.
I do not drink coffee. Neither do they.
Wow.
Did you know Mormons don't drink coffee?
I
LDS
did
do
not
not.
know that. No.
They do not drink coffee. They can have sodas, because that's more healthy than
Oh,
coffee.
yeah.
But they can't. I don't drink coffee. I like to go door to door. I love to go door to door. And they like to do. And the last one is I have many wives. Many wives like Joseph Smith. I have many, many wives that I have to account for that keep me.
They all keep
Keep me
you in
out of
line, don't
trouble.
they?
And it is, and yes, I have many spouses. In all
Okay, hold
seriousness.
on. I need to clarify here.
Okay.
So,
No, I don't have, I'm
because
not, go ahead.
somebody right now is listening going,
Okay.
wait a minute, this is a Roman Catholic priest? He's
Yes,
talking about his
yes.
many wives. He's talking about the women
In my
parishioners
life,
and
I
his
have
wives.
women who are not my, I'm not sacramentally married to them, but sometimes it feels like it.
Yeah, back to
So,
our topic at hand here.
back to a
Yes.
copy, we can say as Christians, we point back to Christ as the founder of the church. He gave, he remember, he never told anybody to write anything down in his earthly ministry. In the book of Revelation, he asked John to write, but he had already resurrected. In his earthly ministry, he asked no one to write anything down. He came to build upon the Jewish faith and to live up to. He came as the Savior. To save them, Messiah has come, and he makes authoritative statements. But he doesn't just say, I'm here, You're on your own. He doesn't do that. He gathers men. You could even say he gathered his own quad group, Peter, James, and John. Then he gathered the other nine. And upon those 12 apostles, just like on the 12 tribes, he gave authority. He gave them instruction. He gave them the Holy Spirit. He gave them himself. And he said, do this, remember me. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. He gave them all. He says, all power and authority has been given to me. And now I hand it on to you. But then he gave Peter a distinctive role amongst the apostles. He changes his name, gives him the keys of the kingdom, and names him, you are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, as establishing him as the unitive amongst them. You know, we get it. That's lit up to for us in Luke 22, when Jesus says to Peter, you know, the devil has asked for you, but I have prayed for you singularly, that when you have turned, you must strengthen your brothers. And at Pentecost, he gives them the Holy Spirit, not just start the church, you know, the church universal, but to be the fathers in the church. So he started with a bunch of men. He founded it. He is the cornerstone. But Peter's hewn into that foundation. They are part of, built upon, we say, what did the church built upon? He said, built upon Jesus, but also built upon the apostles. The scripture tells us that he built it upon the apostles. So we can say without question, without that historically, the church is 2,000 years old. I would also argue in my ecumenical way that I am, Mr. Ecumenical, that the Orthodox Church can make that claim too. Mm-hmm. They can make that they're apostolic, that they have valid orders, and they're separated from us by politics and a few other philosophical, maybe in a few hundred years, be able to reconcile that. But the church founded by Christ, that it continues in its fullness sense in Rome, we're a Catholic. And that Pope Leo is in the line of Peter, and he serves as a connective for all of us, that he was given that special charism by Christ. So, I mean, we could stop this right now, but I think it's okay to say what we're up against here, that it is the church of Christ, that's us. We're not saying that everybody else is going to hell, not at all. And even all baptized Christians in an imperfect way are united to us. Sadly, they are not perfect, but I think it's good to hear. I've been reading this. You may hear some of other religions, other Protestants, say that one religion is good as another, and they tend to stress at all different aspects of the church and teaching, and that it is for each individual to choose church which suits him. That's an American thing, you know. Not right now, people. Mm-hmm. I want to go to church that I'm comfortable in. What a wrong idea. We need to go to the church that we're most uncomfortable in, that will challenge us the most. And they make the terrible claim, that's a very American, that they have no time for organized religion, and that how you live is all that counts. Well, that's not the church that Jesus gave us. In the Sermon on the Mount, he was always referencing the Old Testament and then saying, but I say to you. So let me quote some Protestants in this regard.
Yeah.
And there's a founder of Protestant. Martin Luther founded the church, and Luther, John Calvin, all of those. And there's a guy named Adolf Harnack. He wrote he's also a member of a so-called school of Protestants, maintained that the important thing is was the spirit of Christ, the spirit of love of God and man. Those who feel in their hearts that they may have felt make up his kingdom or his church. Again, we go back to emotions. I go back to emotion. Someone walked into a church, even when they come to the Catholic church, and they'll say, Father, I just felt the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, that's good. I felt warm and welcome. Oh, that's good. But faith is not a feeling. It is a decision. Anglicans, high church, Episcopalians who are separate from the Eastern church admit that Christ set up a visible, organized society. But the common Protestant view, and there's a guy named Charles Morrison, he wrote a book called Can Protestantism Win America? So he claimed, and I quote, here it is, no denomination claims that Christ is the head of its denomination. It may claim that it has the truth, quote, that it is the New Testament church, quote, unquote, that its creed is the true statement of the Christian faith, and that its practices and mode of organization conform strictly to the pattern of the primitive church. No denomination or any negligible or own, I'm saying, but no denomination or only a negligible few, that's us, has ever pretended that Christ is the head of its denomination. Such a claim would sound either ridiculous or blasphemous in the ear of any Protestant. Only Rome makes such a claim, and it was against this very pretension that Protestantism revolted, unquote. So they even they recognize what the church claims, that they admit their churches were not started by Christ. So which begs the question, why would you start, why would you become a Christian in a church that wasn't started by Christ? Wow. So the main point we have to discuss then is not whether the Methodist or Congregational, Presbyterian, Anglican, or Roman Catholic Church is the one Christ founded, but whether he did, in fact, find any organized church. 9 out of 10 of the people who reject the Catholic Church do not because they believe that Christ established some of the church, but because they believe he established no organized church at all. And that is just plain old unhistorical.
Yeah.
Plain old unhistorical. I was talking with some friends of mine who belong to Church of Christ, and they say that, well, we don't have a church calendar. I said, really? You don't celebrate Christmas? Okay, well, we celebrate Christmas. Or Easter? Okay, so you do have some church calendar. And where did you get that from? Did you just make it up? Why do you celebrate Christmas on the 25th? Because a 4th century pope said it would. You're welcome. So we say to all Catholics, you must know your history. Not only know the history of the church, but with the internet, you can know the history of the Baptist church, the Anglican church, the Methodist church. Go look it up. There's no reason, no excuse for ignorance. There's no excuse for ignorance. And don't let them guilt you. The church does hold to the teaching that there's no salvation outside of the church, but that doesn't mean you're going to hell. Anytime someone says, oh, are you saved? This goes back. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Salvation does come through the church because the church flows from Christ. The church and then the teaching and the Bible flow from the church. And then our particular churches flow after that. Or we reverence the scriptures. But we know that what the most important thing is what happens on that altar. That's what Jesus said. The most important thing he ever said was, this is my body. So remember what Cardinal Henry Newman said, that those deep in history cease to be Protestant. That's either true or not. That's either true or not. And, you know, this is stepping out of my, well, you know, people call themselves Lutheran, and that's fine. But I always ask him, do you know what Luther? Are you a student of Luther? Because he believes certain things. So, well, then you just, then why do you call yourself Lutheran?
Yeah.
Why would you use a man? I mean, there's Jesuits, Franciscans. They follow the way of Dominic, Ignatius. They're students of their founder, but they're Catholic because their founder was a student of the Lord. So, yeah, the church is 2,000 years old, and I was listening to a man who became Catholic. He was a Protestant, and they said, well, they always studied the early church, the 1st century, and then they jumped to the 16th century.
Yeah, they skip 1,000 years in there.
Skip more than 1,000, you know, 1,400 years, skip 1,000. What was the church doing? Well, let's say it was the Dark Ages. It was the Middle Ages where people were just stupid and superstitious, and Greek mythology and crept into the church, and Hellenism felt crept in. I read another chart that said the Catholic Church was started by Constantine. You'll hear that too. He made it was legal, but yeah. No.
Started by Constantine. That's hilarious.
So if we believe, any Christian believes that Christ started a church, and you have to ask yourself, if he did, is it still around? And if it is still around, which is it? That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And if it was started by a man, all we have to do is look and see. Again, Lutherans in this country have like 6 or 7 different tributaries now. Anglicanism has over 100. Methodism has shattered into 1,000 pieces too. congregationalism. I mean, this whole idea when Jesus said in, John 14, John 17, let them be one. What does that mean? Why do we celebrate division? A few years ago, 2017, Baylor had, I think we talked about this before, Baylor had that big celebration and
Oh,
its
yeah.
500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And then one of the professors says, why are we celebrating this? Why are we celebrating this? And not only do all these churches separate, but they separate amongst themselves. They even champion the autonomy of the local congregation. Wow. Imagine a family, you have kids. What, imagine if you had six kids and we're going to celebrate all of y'all's autonomy. You just make your own. No, wait, no. We have a head of this house.
Yeah,
We have a
I
pastor. We have a
changed
father.
my birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I changed my birthday.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but Christianity is something that's been handed on to us. It's been handed on to us. And sure, it has come close to, there's the Arian heresy, all kinds of Gnosticism, Manichaeism, but the church has always attacked those head on and made a decision. Which church? Which church? So I gave a lecture in at Truett Seminary in Baylor. Great place, great place. The entire class, must have been 50 or 60 people in there. Talking about the social teaching of the church, but it always comes down to authority and ecclesiology. So this man in the front row was talking, well, I know Catholics that believe this or that. I said, don't ask Catholics what they believe. They don't know. Look it up for yourself. But it comes down to by what authority, where do we settle these questions? Jesus says, if you have a problem with your brother has a problem with you go settle it between you. So you think I'm a heretic, I think you're a heretic. Let's settle this. Well, we can't do it. We bring three or four others. But if you can't do that, what is it? What does Jesus say? Will you take them to the church? Well, which church do we take them to? Your church, my church, her church? Because that particular class had all kinds of denominations in it. And what authority do you have? Where'd you get that authority from? So I think Catholics have to not be afraid. In order to be Christian, to be Catholic means that, sometimes you're gonna lose friends and family. Jesus told us that. But we're so afraid of being rude or hurting people's feelings. Jesus was always insulting people. Jesus was always hurting people's feelings. Jesus was always, in quotation, rubbing people the wrong way. Well, because they were already, the wrong way. So to be Catholic means to be historical. And remember that the Bible is a Catholic book and never be ashamed of any of that. That Christ founded our church in the year 33. And even though that comes off to some people as arrogant, it's either true or not. It's either true or not. And either God is okay with chaos and, thousands of denominations, or he does mean it when he said, let them be one. Let them be one. What do you mean by that? Because they have to wrestle with that. I talked to another pastor friend of mine who part of a church that broke off and broke off and broke off. So I asked them, when a church splits, is that a good thing? Is that a good thing? And to watch them do emotional and intellectual backflips. And so don't be afraid to shout it out loud that the church has four marks, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The church is one.
And that's exactly where I was going to go, the apostolic, because it seems like that's where our Protestant brothers and sisters start first with their refutation of the church and this idea that we have a guy almost 2,100 years later who sits in a chair in Rome and claims to be, the vicar of Christ. And that it's only Christ, that all these other guys that we've propped up and dressed in white for the last 2,100 years are just heretics or false prophets or some other adjective. And it seems like they always kind of go back to a handful of biblical texts where they got the Bible from. That's a conversation for another day. But It always kind of starts and seems to center around a couple of them. And
Yeah.
so I just want to pick out a couple here and
Okay. A
kind of
couple
get
what?
your a couple of these Bible quotes that they
Oh yeah. Okay, go
write.
ahead.
And we'll start with Ephesians 2:20.
Oh yeah.
Now, for those of
Saved
you that
by
are
grace through faith? That one?
no. Built on the foundation of the apostles and
Oh yeah.
Jesus Christ, the cornerstone,
The
right?
corners, but it's
So I'm quoting from the King James Version of the Bible. So we know that that has been edited. So for those of you that are flipping through your Catholic Bibles, the language is going to be a little bit different. But the principal argument is this idea, the specific quote from Ephesians 2:20,
okay, let me
having
get to that.
been.
Let me get to that.
Okay,
Ephesians.
okay.
You know, I'm your typical Catholic. It takes me a while to get going here.
Yeah,
Oh, here
Ephesians
comes.
is in the New Testament, Father.
Yo. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Built upon foundation. Yeah, go ahead.
Built on the foundation of,
The
quote, the
apostles.
apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the, quote, chief cornerstone, end quote. And it
I
seems
don't know if
like,
it says chief. Is it chief?
well, that's the New King James Version
Oh,
of,
I got my Greek thing here.
yeah,
But
that's.
we got no problem with that. He is the primary. He is the cornerstone. But there's other, that just means that's other foundations. It says right there, built upon the foundation of what? The apostles. The apostles. And who are these apostles? What, they're not, were they all Baptists? Were they all, well, some they think
Yeah.
they're LDS. How would they use that? Go keep talking. I'm listening.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this this argument from I think this guy is a is actually LDS.
Oh, okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but he makes the comment that Paul is using an illustration, and or you know he's making an allusion, which I find that interesting. But anyway,
Illusion.
yeah, to describe the blessings and the church as a household or a nation, and describing the foundation of the temple. With Jesus being the chief cornerstone.
Okay, I'm looking at the Greek. It doesn't say anything about chief, built on the foundation of the apostle and Christ Jesus himself, Christo Jesu autu antos being the cornerstone. There's no chief in here. So
So,
chief, isn't that
but
an Indian, an English word about,
right. Yeah. But it's the it's to me, it's always the mental and linguistic gymnastics
gymnastics.
that
There
have
you
to
are.
go through, you
Yeah.
know, the adding of the word chief and this idea that somehow the cornerstone in 21st century America is different than the cornerstone in first century Judaism. We know that the cornerstone is part of the foundation. It's the
Sure.
most
And it's
important
one
part
that
of.
the cornerstone is the one that lightens the other foundations to make sure it stays square.
Right,
Yeah.
right. And so I mean it was you put we still do this today. If you ever go to watch a job site and the first thing that the surveyors do is they mark out the four corners of the lot. They mark out the four
Yeah.
corners of where they're going to pour concrete, you know, and then they take all the measurements off of that. And then this idea that the apostles and the prophets, again, I'm using air quotes here for this guy's argument is that of the apostles in the Greek is a possessive genitive plural phrase. It simply means belonging to.
Well, I don't understand. Here's what all Catholics should memorize is it's another one from Paul, 1 Timothy 3:15.
There you go.
And so we'll start at 14. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. He was a bishop. Timothy is a bishop. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is what? The church of the living God. pillar and buttress of truth. So the word there is ecclesia. So if the pillar and household of God, which is the church, and it's obviously, you know, the Jesus is the household of God. And this, what is this church? And it doesn't say that the church of the living God, that the Bible is the pillar and buttress of truth. No, no, because the church existed before the New Testament. Sure, there was an Old Testament, and its list was fuzzy. It's mm-hmm. fuzzy. But that the Paul himself says that the church is the foundation, pillar and foundation. I like the word buttress, the thing mm-hmm. that holds up the church together, those things on the outside,
the arches, yeah,
and the mm-hmm. and the pillar and the arch. Mm-hmm. So this is a foundation stone is the church. Again, you have to ask, which church is that? I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house, and I pulled that up. I said, you know, or when Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," I said, is that talking about your church, the Watchtower Tract Society? And even as it's coming out of my mouth, I said, doesn't that just sound ridiculous? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Is that what you believe? Well, we believe, you know, the church founded, and then it. Oh, that's what Mormons believe. That's what Mormons. Yeah. But careful, buddy. Careful. Yeah. But history is dangerous. But it's also, remember, to all Catholics, your listeners, it is ours. Mm-hmm. It is ours. The church history belongs to us. And sure, we have lots of sinners. You know, we've always had our Judases. The weeds grow among the wheat. They have mm-hmm. always done that. And if you're waiting to join a purified church like the Puritans thought they would, it's not going to happen. It doesn't exist. And they wouldn't have you if they did. There's always been the Judases. Jesus founded a church full of sinners. So just don't be scandalized. And sure, don't be scandalized. There's something, and the world depends on us. The yeah. world depends on the church. Other than, you know, the calendar, the mm-hmm. sacraments, the priesthood, the history, don't let, you know, other people make you ashamed. Because yeah. when I, you know, we all take history class, and we go to a regular secular school, it's really, especially in movies, to the Way of the Rose or all these kind of movies that yeah. just all, it's okay to show the Catholic Church in a bad light.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know any movie that shows Islam in a bad light. I don't okay. even know. But the media and academia, they know there is an enemy. It's okay to hate the Catholic Church. Easy and it's start. Not because we call ourselves the one true church. It's mostly because we have rules about what you can do in your bedroom, yeah. and they can't stand yeah. that. Anyway, I know we've Father, been talking for a while.
Yeah, we're running out of time here. Yeah. There's a couple of other biblical references that I think we should address.
Okay.
So let's come back next week and
awesome.
Let's round out this topic. So if you wouldn't mind, please leave us with your blessing.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it Amen. Was in the beginning, is now, and there shall be, world without end. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, folks. Thanks, Father. Appreciate y'all coming back. And we'll be back next week. We'll finish up here our topic on Christ as the foundation of our church. And arm us all with some statements to refute some common attacks. And we hope to see y'all next week right here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Y'all have a great weekend.